Hi, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast up and running for episode 206. We're recording on a fine Wednesday, supposedly just before it starts raining again. Rain! It sort of rained a little bit last week. Actually, it rained a lot.
Yeah, it dumped up here.
Just not down here in San Jose. There was like a, too many NIMBYs around here. I mean, I've always complained about that, but I didn't. They should really be okay with rain. It's kind of a necessary thing during a drought. But hopefully we'll get some rain this week. Hopefully it's not raining too much or not enough wherever you are. Hopefully it's raining just the right amount as we charge headlong over to Halloween, which is probably my favorite holiday of the year. You got anything crazy going on for Halloween?
Too many parties. It's not my favorite holiday.
Oh no. I find that I like to dress up, but I don't like to decorate all that much. I'll buy a pumpkin, but I'm not like, one of those like crazy, I'm gonna carve it and make all sorts of crazy stuff out of it. I just like the dress up aspect of it, which that actually makes a lot of sense.
Which, in a world of cosplay, you can do any day you want.
It's true. It does kind of make that a lot easier to put a mask on. But putting a mask on is actually the probably the solution to our first topic this week. This comes from a website called perpetuallineup.org, which is a project that some folks put together to track the use of facial recognition databases. Their like big surprising thing that they popped up was that essentially every other adult is in some facial recognition database, and that's because they pull their facial recognition database stuff from mugshots, but also from driver's licenses. Just any driver's license ever is loaded up into police databases everywhere, and that's sort of expected. I think that's not something that we can really control, that that you're in these databases. But what's interesting is that the databases, according to this website, are being used without any oversight at all. There's just no regulation at all about who can use it or how it's used, or or how much evidence is needed beyond, the software matching you. Because that's what's happening, is that not only are the databases existing out in the world, they're also being used to create, hits for lineups and things like that. So essentially, you're in a lineup at all times. You don't even have to be called into the proverbial like police station or anything like that. And so it goes through it. It's a really interesting set of data that comes through. It reminds me a lot of the project that from a bit ago that was looking at police use of force. And I think they probably took a cue from the same web designers for that. I think that was called Campaign Zero was that one. So this one is perpetuallineup.org. It has, like I said, a lot of information about a lot of things. It's good to kind of read up and be aware of that, as biometrics are really kind of everywhere, and the way that that's collected and pulled together, really passively without anyone knowing about it is kind of amazing and surprising. One interesting thing that came out of it was that there was a study from the FBI that said that people who are black end up disproportionately matched by the software, and it's just the way that the software works, and it's something that,
of course it is,
right, it's just something that comes up. But not only is it necessarily an issue with the software, they also mentioned that because of higher arrest numbers, they end up disproportionately represented in the mugshot databases, and so there's just a lot more stuff in there. And it's possible if the data is messing that up at all, then it's more likely for, you know, hits on databases to come up and things like that. You know, it's something that really, really should be addressed before it becomes something that is more widespread. What this website aims to do is to kind of call attention to it before it does become much, much, much more widespread, which it's probably already in that process. So, you know, keep an eye on that. Police kind of use of force and also use of technology is really something that we talk about a lot on this show, but mostly because we like the police. We were joking, you know, quite a while ago and for a long time, like, what, you know, but really what it comes down to is we do like how the police works. We just want them to do their job, like, well and correctly and without, like, you know, all the things that make them suspect that things are going poorly. So so take a peek at that. We're gonna move kind of a very different direction and go out to a story about whales. There's the International Whaling Commission, I guess, has been meeting for quite a while. And one of the things that comes up on their votes as they, you know, decide about, you know, whaling and stuff like that, since 1998, they've been voting on a sanctuary for whales, as there have been, as whaling kind of, you know, moves out of fashion and people are kind of more, you know, humane about treating, like, these huge, huge animals and not, you know, just slaughtering them. They've figured out that a lot of whales end up in the South Atlantic. And so a number of countries, particularly ones on in South America, and are looking to restrict whaling and make a sanctuary for them in the South Atlantic. And I guess this has been on their ballots every year since 1998, and they've been blocked. So whaling is still unrestricted. What's really interesting, and one of the things that they hold up as a real problem, is a lot of the countries that are pro whaling are not in the South Atlantic. So I think the vote was something like 38 to I forget how many. But it, and the, they needed 48 to pass, and something like 24 other countries. Yeah, that's what it was. 24 other countries voted against it. In other words, to keep whaling a thing. Of those, three of the main ones that led the charge are Iceland, Japan, and Norway, which are nowhere near the South Atlantic. I mean, Japan doesn't even touch the Atlantic. That's in the Pacific. It's like, what are you guys doing? And clearly they're killing whales, is what it comes down to.
What they're doing on is whaling.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would be hard for the International Whaling Commission to vote to not do whaling, I guess. But it goes to show that 38 out of 64, which is more than half by my math, says that they should maybe tighten it up a little bit and not whale all the time in the South Atlantic. Hopefully, you know, they try again next year and you know, it passes and they figure that shit out, because whales are awesome, and don't kill whales. Frickin' Norway and Iceland and Japan. Not awesome. Not a thing, guys.
Not a thing.
But kind of moving away, it's not all bad in Scandinavia. We're sticking with Iceland for a little bit, where they are doing doing something that's been done before. They're drilling wells for geothermal power, and this is something that's been done all the time. You essentially just drill into the earth, so you get far enough down that the pressure and the heat from the earth's core is enough that you can heat steam, which can be used to drive turbines, and you get electricity. And this has been done lots of places, and the groups in Iceland are looking to do this at a depth of 5 kilometers, which isn't that much, but I mean, drills have been made deeper than that, but in Iceland it's really notable because there's a lot of volcanic activity nearby, and they're a lot closer to actual liquid flowing magma, and so it's a lot hotter, and they can get a lot more energy out of it. They're guessing they can get something like 50 megawatts out of their out of a power plant that they could put there. And the current kind of, you know, setup is more like, it's closer to like 5. So, you know, 10 times the amount of power that they can pull out of the ground. That's pretty impressive. also, it's just kind of cool to be drilling to the Earth's core. Totally a thing. So Iceland is kind of maybe not quite back in our good graces. I mean, they should definitely vote against whaling, but voting for drilling down into the earth, that's probably a thing. The story had a note about a well that was done or that was drilled to a depth of 2 kilometers, and that was pretty you know, was very effective and had a lot of they were able to get a lot of power out of that, but it actually failed for corrosion reasons, because they're, I guess, pumping water into there, and whatever the mineral content eventually overwhelmed whatever systems they were using to contain the supercritical steam that they're getting out of it. That's just wild. I think, you know, taking, you know, using, harnessing the power of the Earth's core, that's pretty badass.
Just keep Hillary Swank away. Or is it Aaron Eckhart?
Yeah. So there's a lot of issues that can happen with that.
We all saw that documentary, The Core, right?
Yes. So we're going to stay in Scandinavia a little bit. We're going to move over to Sweden. And Sweden has banned camera drones in public places. And this is, except if you're, like, you know, part of, like a film industry, or you have special permits, you can't have a camera drone or a drone with a camera in it and then fly it around in public places, which I'm not sure how they enforce, but it's really I think it's a really interesting thing to legislate against, except that, like, almost every drone that's made now has a camera built into it. I mean, it's not even a drone with a camera attached or that you can attach. It's a drone that just, they just all have cameras in them now. So it will be really interesting to see how that's kind of enforced and pulled together. I actually think that's, I think it's a good idea. I like the thought of it. I just don't know about how the implementation would work. But maybe they can go ask the folks in Holland at the Hague, in Amsterdam at the Hague, to get those eagles that they were training in insert episode here to pull the drones out of the sky. It's not that far away. It's it's in Europe. They can just, you know, go there and ask them. That'd be fun.
Yeah, they're both still part of the EU, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's not like you're trying to go to England.
It's what's really, I think, interesting for that is the you know, the GoPro just announced their new models of stuff, and one of them is a is a drone that that has a GoPro built into it. So I think, you know, it will be really hard to to regulate that. I guess you can still buy it. It would just be, you wouldn't be able to use it if you wanted to take it into a public place and then film, which again, I don't know how they would enforce, but it is an interesting kind of fight that we've been talking about for a while. It's most likely going to become more of an issue as time goes on. I know that there the permit process that ended up, you know, pulling together in a for the FAA is a real thing, and that's happening. I don't know how well or how poorly that's going, but I'm sure they will have a report, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on the show as that comes up. we're nothing if not doggedly persistent on things that we like to talk about on the show anyway. Speaking of things we like to talk about on the show, we're going to move over to Colorado, where a company named Otto, that's O-T-T-O, has put some technology on the road this last week for a self-driving truck. And so this is something that they've built. It's their kind of technology. Uber, incidentally, ended up buying their company. I'm not sure. It's probably for the self-driving kind of stuff in it. But what's really interesting from this is that it's a self-driving truck that its first kind of thing that it was, its first duty was to drive a truck full of Budweiser beer to delivery. And so the first self-driving truck's action was to deliver beer. I mean, it was Budweiser beer, so that's...
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to give it something good that it could screw up.
Yeah.
There is a ton of Budweiser in the world, and it's not that great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, self-driving trucks to deliver beer, I mean, that's a thing. It's not as cool as the beer pipeline that we talked about in a insert.
No, it's not as cool as that.
Yeah, but it is interesting that they're using it for kind of long haul trucking. I vaguely remember there being an episode of The Simpsons, I think, where Homer goes to be a truck driver, and then he stumbles upon like the self-drive system. And so it's a thing. It's something that we have certainly talked about for a lot of things, just regular consumers. But I think for truck drivers specifically, I think it's interesting as there's a lot of trucks on the road, and having that be automated, I mean, it takes away all of those jobs, which is something we've also talked about on the show a lot. But it also hopefully means more safety regarding those trucking lines, because I mean you use those trucks because you have to move a lot of stuff a long distance, and that takes a long time, and it takes people to be attentive for that amount of time, and that's no small feat, as anyone who's driven more than a few miles, a few hours kind of at a stretch, knows that it's tiring to drive more than a few hours in a row. So I think that's real interesting that they're looking into it for self-driving trucks. It'll be even more interesting, I think, if the self-driving tech makes it into cars, which we've also talked about tons of times on the show. That's certainly a thing. Getting the majority or even all of them self-driving on roads will make things a lot more interesting, and it'll mean a lot more things to talk about on the show. Speaking of which, if you would like to talk about stuff on the show, maybe something of your own or something that you found on the internet, please let us know via the website. The HAL 900 can take care of you, or tweet at us, or Facebook us, or say hi to us in the hallway and let us know. We'd love to talk about it. We'd love to have you on the show. There's tons of things out in the world that we have not encountered yet. So if you have something that you think is interesting and you think we would find interesting, that's good enough for us. It doesn't have to be necessarily interesting to everybody. If you make it interesting to us, that's more than enough. If you'd like to be on the show, let us know. We love having guests. It's certainly a thing. We love talking about stuff. We go into a lot of phases about stuff, and one of the things we often talk about, we're going to next, which is space. Specifically, not going to space, but then coming back from space. That's a thing. Astronauts do have to come home after going up into space, and what they've noticed is that there's certain complications that can happen from staying in space. One of them is kind of muscle loss from certain muscles, just because they're not acting against the force of gravity being in space, and so they have to like work out. There's a picture that I've seen, which is someone they're acting on a treadmill, and what's interesting is on that treadmill they're wearing a harness, which is actually pulling them towards the treadmill. It's like springy or something like that. Really interesting. And that's because the muscles in your legs and everything else, again, they have to be able to work against something if gravity's not there. But what a lot of astronauts have complained about after being in space is that they're getting a lot of back pain. And initially, scientists thought that was a zero-G thing, and just the way that your spine is also not responding to the lack of gravity. Well, it turns out that it is true, but it's in a slightly different way, because what's happening is the spine is actually shrinking in the absence of gravity, rather than kind of stretching out and being floppy. I guess I'm not entirely sure. There's probably an actual medical discussion of it in the article, but
I'm sure it's not floppy.
But it is something that that has to be taken into account. It's not just muscles. It's not just muscles. It's actually bones as well, and also probably the finer things, you know, in the vertebrae that are being impacted, the discs and all that kind of stuff in the spine. And so, you know, we're still learning about space, which is good, because we still want to send people to space. Space is still a thing. We're hoping to go to Mars and probably all sorts of other stuff in the meantime. It would be neat to go to space. If any NASA folks are listening and would like to send the Not a Thing podcast into space, we wouldn't be the first podcast done in space, but we would be the best one that they could send, I think. I mean, we have 206 episodes. I don't know how many other podcasts have 206 episodes that would do well in space, but I think ours would. Don't you think? Hashtag moon tent.
Then we'd really be shouting into the void.
Moving on a little bit, we talked about a thing last week in episode 205 about some studies to kind of reduce people's inhibitions by like kind of electrically and magnetically stimulating certain neurons in the brain. Well, we're going to talk about a similar thing this week, but instead of using electricity and magnets, we're just using parasites. And this is a parasite which I guess is common in a lot of mammals. It can actually infect humans as well, but interestingly enough, it only reproduces in cats, which is very interesting. It looks like it It infects a lot of animals. A lot of animals are susceptible to it, but it only reproduces in cats. And one interesting thing about it is that it affects the brain chemistry of the host animals. And so the study has noticed that mice, in particular, when they're infected with this parasite, act very differently. So one of the things that they noticed is that when exposed to like the cat's urine, which it would come across in the wild or in a house or whatever as a sign, oh, there's a cat here, so clearly I have to, be afraid and run away from this. What's happening is that the mice are actually don't exhibit any of those traits of running away or being afraid, and so they're surmising that there's something that the parasite does that changes how the brain deals with certain chemical triggers and things like that. They've also noticed that in, I think it was primates, that they would not react to, I think it was leopard urine, or some other,
There's
what,
Bob
bobcat.
urine.
Okay. Well, it's so again, it's another relation to a cat, but this is in a much bigger animal, right? And so they're not sure if it or what the reaction is in humans, but they did note that it is a parasite that can infect humans, and it's linked to, but not they haven't created anything causal, just correlating, but they have linked it to certain aspects of schizophrenia and other things. It's really fascinating that this is all like essentially new study. This is not this is all stuff that we're still experimenting with rats. We're still experimenting with animals, and we're still figuring out how brains work. It's not something that is a done deal yet. So science marches on. It again, similarly to last week, it would be great if we could use this for good. I'm not sure what it does, if it's a parasite whose effects are schizophrenia or making you unafraid of things. I'm not sure those are good things. So figuring out how to fix these things, I think, is something that they gotta look at and work on. It's still a thing. Research is still a thing. Figuring out how people's brains work is still a thing. What's also still a thing, unfortunately, is the common cold. And we're not talking about kind of like the flu, where there's viruses and there's flu shots every year for that. We're talking about just that kind of blah, you're sick and you're sniffly, but it's not enough to keep you from going to work, even though you probably shouldn't go to work when you're sick. People that infect other people, it's not a thing.
Jerks.
Just some people are very susceptible to even the smallest bit of the cold, and if you have sick days, just take them. They're gonna expire if you don't. Just take those sick days. Come on. But in any case, the common cold is caused by, I guess it's they're called a family of rhinoviruses, and I like to think that the viruses look like little rhinoceroses. I think they do have kind of a like a pointy snout kind of thing on them. I don't really see them like roaming in packs or anything, but I like to think that's how that works. But they're viruses, so like any other virus, you can create an immunity to it, but the problem is similar to the flu virus. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that cause kind of the same symptoms. And so, what some researchers are doing is making a vaccine that just has a lot of viruses in them, and they're inert viruses, but they're not so inert that they're dead, because the immune system has to be able to kind of realize it's there and then kill it and then go, hey, I killed it, and then take the antigens or whatever it is it uses to create the actual immunity. And so the problem is that because there are a lot of those viruses, and they mutate and change, and that's why there's multiple flu vaccines every year. This is the first time that they're trying to do this with the rhinoviruses. And so there was a test that seemed successful on primates, and they used a 50 virus cocktail, and they're looking to proceed to humans with an 83 virus cocktail. And I think this is a great idea. I mean, no one likes to be sick, and working with this will be really interesting to see if they can pull it off, just because it's I guess it's not a it is the common cold, and it seems kind of maybe it's a little excessive that we're spending kind of time on it. At the same time, again, no one likes to be sick. Let's make that not a thing. Although I thankfully have not really gotten sick yet this year, although I am going to get my flu virus or flu. I just doomed myself, didn't I?
I'm not saying nothing about nothing.
I'm getting my flu vaccine hopefully this week to keep stuff away, especially if I'm handing out candy this weekend. I'm one of those houses that that does the full-size bars at Halloween. It's definitely a thing. There's something like 35 plus kids under 12 on my street, so it gets a little busy. We'll see how the count goes this year, especially if the rain kind of keeps up, which I hope it does, but maybe not on Halloween proper. Let people, you know, get out there in their costumes. Hopefully not too many teenagers with pillowcases this year. Well, that's all she wrote this week, I think. Again, like we've said on the show before, if you would like to participate in the Not a Thing podcast, please feel free. Let us know. We'd love to have your things on the air, or if you'd like to be on the air as a guest, feel free. We can get you in. You don't have to come to one of our recording locations. You can do it remotely. We've had people as far away as is Norway the furthest we've gotten? Is Spain further away than Norway? No, probably not.
No.
Anaheim's not further away. No.
I'm an American. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, you know, we would love to break a record if you would like to join us from a foreign country, or even a more local country like the U.S., please do let us know, and we'll have you on the air. And in any case, Brennan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.